I went to a part of Mexico that I had never visited, San Luis Potosí. A good friend of mine, his family's from there, and invited me to go with him. And I was particularly interested because there was a mystic, a Mexican mystic, Conchita Cabrera de Hermida. And she is, her cause is up for canonization. And she was a fascinating woman, a mother of 9 children. And when she later became widowed, she established several religious communities, and she herself joined one of the religious communities. But had this tremendously profound prayer life, and left many writings that have been very rich and beneficial to many. And so I wanted to go to the convent where she spent much of her time, and there was a wooded area there where she used to walk around in contemplation and pray. So I was there one afternoon, and I really enjoy being out in nature. I find it relaxing. I find it sort of regenerating being in nature. And so just walking through the woods and just relaxing and praying and taking it all in, just reflecting on my own life and how God has been present in my life, maybe some of the challenges that I've encountered, and where God is leading me in my life. So it was a beautiful time of reflection. And as I was walking through a pathway in the wooded area, just enjoying these tremendous, beautiful, large, majestic trees that just jetted out into the sky. And as I was doing so, I noticed there was a rather large tree that had fallen. You can tell that maybe part of it was rotted, but part of it was still connected to the ground and to the roots. And so I didn't think much of it. You see fallen trees at times. And I sort of followed the line as I kept walking and not really thinking about it much. But I got to a certain point where I saw that the trunk, which was horizontal, there was a large branch jutting up. And so I slowly followed the branch up, and it kept going up higher and higher. And there were other branches that came out from that large branch. And lo and behold, you would never be able to tell the difference from that tree from any others if you did not see the trunk horizontal on the ground. That tree, though sick because it was rotted to some degree, was still connected to the roots. And so there was life flowing somehow, some way, through the trunk of that tree, giving new life, giving nourishment to that large, healthy branch that jutted up into the blue sky and created, seemingly, a brand new, strong, vigorous tree with beautiful branches. That image comes to mind as we pray together with the choir, the psalm that we prayed together. Lord, send out your spirit, and you shall renew the face of the earth. The fact that the Holy Spirit has this power to renew the world, to renew us, to renew creation, to renew humanity. the wonderful power and the tremendous hope that that inspires in us. Jesus, one of the titles that he was given early on in the church, that he was described as the new Adam. We remember Adam and Eve. Adam was the father of humanity, and because of his disobedience was cast out from the Garden of Eden. And so Jesus is described as the new Adam, sort of a new father of humanity, where humanity is renewed, where we get a fresh start, where we can go back into the garden of salvation, the garden of friendship with our God, the God who is love, the God who calls us to communion with Him, the God who gives us life. A renewed hope, a renewed life, renewed possibilities. That is in great part what this feast day of Pentecost is about. That Jesus pours out His Holy Spirit on His church. And Jesus, before He ascends into heaven, He makes a promise to His disciples. First of all, He sends them out. He sends them on mission. Go out into the whole world and preach the good news. Go out into the whole world and preach the good news. Baptize. And know that I am with you until the end of the world. Jesus promised never to abandon us. And He does it. He sends us the Holy Spirit to be with us always. These children who are about to make their first communion, you were already baptized. Do you remember when you were baptized? No? You were probably just little babies, so that's why you don't remember. But you have already been baptized. And when you were baptized, you already received the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is with you. And the Holy Spirit is guiding you. And the Holy Spirit brings you here to receive your first Holy Communion. The Holy Spirit wants you to be close to your family. Wants you to learn from your family. And the Holy Spirit wants you to grow in friendship with God. God who loves you. More than you can imagine. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that strengthens us, that guides us. St. Paul in the second reading talks about the various gifts and how it's the same Spirit that inspires all those different gifts of the community, of the church. That beautiful image that St. Paul gives us of a body, that the church is like a body, the body of Christ. And he says something that's really, it's almost funny, but it's so true. He says, the hands cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. How would we walk? The eyes cannot say to the ears, I don't need you. How would we hear? And so all the members of the body, though distinct, and though they have different roles, are members of the same body. And so humanity. In a time this past year where we have been challenged not only by the pandemic, it's painful sometimes to remember all that we've been through over the past 14 or 15 months. Political division, racial division, economic turmoil and disaster, jobs lost, lives lost, grieving. That the Holy Spirit, even despite all of these challenges that we face, brings us hope. And that's why we pray, Lord, send out your Spirit, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.